Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
Good morning. Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. The title of this message is The Fight Against Apostasy. Let's pray. Father, help us to understand your word this morning, so that we may apply it in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for your Spirit to teach us. We pray that you would guide us into your truth and help us to walk as children of light. Help us to walk with a fervency and a desire, Lord, to always be in your presence. Bless this time, Lord, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 10, verse 32. But recall the former days in which you, after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings. So the former days, again, the tense there is a constant habit of what? Of going over your mind one by one. That which you've endured in the great struggle, sufferings, when? After you were illuminated, when you came to faith in Christ. Partly while you were made a spectacle. The word spectacle, the root word is theater, bring upon the stage, a public show. Metaphorically, it means to be gazed at and made sport of by the reproaches and tribulations by fellow Jews and family members. They became a spectacle. They were, if you will, excommunicated. They were rejected by family members. They were treated harshly. And the writer is saying, remember what you've gone through when you came to Christ, of fellow countrymen. And partly why you became companions of those who were so treated, of associating with other Christians. Of the Roman world did not look upon Christianity as a favorable religion. No, they didn't acknowledge it at all as a religion. It's more of a cult. So they were treated harshly by not only their countrymen, but also the Roman world. For you had compassion on me in my chains. Again, this could be the writer in chains, but more likely, again, another way of translating this, for you had compassion on those who were in chains. Regardless, is that they basically came out in support to those that were in chains for their faith, acknowledging that they were Christians. And they joyfully accepted the plundering of their goods. Property was taken from them, again, because of their faith in Christ, knowing that you had a better and enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. What awaited them in heaven outweighs anything that you could ever have on this earth. Reminding them that's what your attitude was. Remember, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Therefore, verse 35, do not cast away your confidence. Cast away what? Your confidence. That word means free and fearless, confidence, cheerful, courage, assurance, boldness. Now, this is the fourth time that writers use this word. First time we find in Hebrews chapter 3, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast, the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. In chapter 4, he said, let us therefore come boldly, there's the word, to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In this chapter, already in verse 19, it says, therefore, brethren, having boldness, there's the word, to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So he said, do not cast away your free and fearless confidence, assurance, and boldness to enter into his presence by the blood of Jesus Christ, to the throne of grace, to obtain mercy and grace in the time of need, assured that Christ dwells in us by his Spirit. Don't cast that away. In fact, David even said in his psalm, cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. And again, the writer of Hebrews is reminding them of this is what you're up against and this is what you're in danger of losing. Cast it not away. Verse 36. For you have need of endurance. Again, endurance, patient waiting and enduring. Enduring the struggles and trials. For you have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, after you've done on this earth, after you're done that God has used you for his glory, of furthering the gospel, of furthering his truth, you may receive the promise. Receive is an interesting word. To receive, it means take up or carry away in order to care and preserve. It's to carry, bear, bring, to carry away for oneself, to carry off what is one's own. It means to receive what was previously one's own, to get back, receive back, recover. So it's not only to keep, but it's also to recover. Recover what? Well, it says the promise. Look at verse 37, for yet a little while, he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Well, part of this is to receive what? Who? Christ. He's coming back. In fact, that's what he told his disciples. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So Christ was taken away from us, if you will. I mean, when he died, he went up into heaven, ascended into heaven. And right there, that's where he's ministering to the church. But he's going to come back for us. And that's, again, receiving that promise of holding on to that promise. But also, it's recovering something. It's recovering a relationship in the presence of God. So as the Lord comes back for his bride, he takes us back into heaven, obtaining the promise, the fullness of joy. You have shown me the paths of life, and your fullness is of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And John says that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write to you, that your joy may be full. So now, all of a sudden, we're understanding that it's more than that. It's more than just fellowship with the Son. It's fellowship with the Father. It's recovering what we lost. How did we lose that? Well, go back to the garden. If you remember, Adam walked with God. He talked with God. He fellowshiped with God daily. You wonder what the conversation would be like as the Father is walking through the garden with Adam, pointing out things. Maybe, look at this. Adam, did you check this out? Did you look at this waterfall? Did you notice how the trees were planted here? Or look at this animal. And then that's what he did. He brought the animals before Adam. He says, what do you call this? And Adam would name the animals. So there was an intimacy, there was a fellowship there. There was, if you will, a face-to-face encounter that Adam got to see the face of God. That Adam was able to see his expression, if you will. Now, God is spirit, but again, he manifests himself to Adam in a way that Adam could to receive and to accept and to understand. And to see is a reflection of his face, to see his glory, if you will. Remember Moses? Moses said, let me see your glory. And the Lord likened it to his face. He said, you cannot see my face, otherwise you would die. So there's an intimacy. There's a fellowship. There's a seeing God in his glory face to face. We lost that. We will recover that. Part of that promise is to see his face. Job knew this. In fact, Job said, for I know my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, not yet another, how my heart yearns within me. To see who? To see him. It's the biggest battle against apostasy, that yearning to see him. It's a homing device that God has put into each of us. That desire to be in fellowship with God, that we become less. We become not the focal point of our being anymore. That we now encounter the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one that desires to have fellowship with us, the one that desires to commune with us, to see us face to face. And again, you just desire that, to see his face, to see his expression. Face is a very important part to us as humans because it expresses a lot. It's like we're in the Christmas era, right? Christmas time right now of the season. And again, the joy of being a grown-up, the joy of being a parent or an uncle or an aunt is giving presents to children and to see their expression when they open those presents. You see a lot. It tells a lot. But also when you're speaking one to another, when you're talking face to face, you see that other person's expressions and the fluctuations of their of their face and everything else, and it speaks volumes to us. It gives us that communion, that intimacy. I think of my wife's face. How I love to touch her face. Again, it's just that intimacy. And then, you know, the baby, of holding that baby and staring in their face and their expressions and everything. It really speaks volumes to us. And again, it's to recover that. Once again, that we will be in His presence. That we will not only be in His presence, but something else has changed. We've lost something in sin. It's been recovered. In fact, John says in his epistle, he says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." Or as David said in his Psalm in 17, "As for me, I will see Your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in Your likeness." No more sin. No more dealing with our failures. No more dealing with the ugliness of who we are apart from God, apart from Christ. But we should be whole. We should be made righteous in His sight. That where Moses couldn't see the face of God because of his sin, because of Christ dying for us, He's given us the right to come into His presence. He's bestowed upon us His righteousness. Isn't that a great trade? We give Him our sin and He gives us His righteousness. And it gives us the right to come before. Not because of who we are, but because of who He is. The Son has said, "Come on into My Father's house." And the Father is the one welcoming us too. For God so loved the world. So we get to go into the presence of God the Father and see His face. To see the expression on His face, if you will. To see and to touch, to caress, to hold. But we are right too. Now we are whole, that we can be in that presence and again, belong. And it's so powerful for us because we desire to belong. What better place to belong than in His presence with Him. And we shall be with Him forever and ever and ever. See, that's the battle against apostasy, is to realize the goal, to realize what can be lost. Don't cast it away, He's saying. Hold on to it. Now, verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him." Now, this is a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. This is mentioned a couple other times in the Bible. It's mentioned in Romans. It's mentioned in Galatians, and now here in Hebrews. And someone has said that in Romans, the emphasis is now the just. In Galatians, the emphasis shall live. And then here in Hebrews, the emphasis is by faith. And some of that we can see is true because we're going to go into the next chapter about living by faith. So, again, it's the faith of what Christ has done for us. We become just. Now we live in what Christ has done by faith. Now, again, we'll get more deeper into that as we get into chapter 11. But here by faith, notice though that if anyone draws back from what the work that he has done, again, we've talked about this in Hebrews previously, saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nothing I can do, nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By the will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. So it's Christ's work. So again, it's taking what? Taking on our own righteousness, taking on our own works, presenting our own sacrifices. He takes no pleasure in that. And to draw back again from what he has done, he has no pleasure in. God has done it all for us. He's paid the price. He's sacrificed himself for us. And our part is now we become just. We live in that by faith. And trust that God, who does not lie, promised these things, he is faithful and true. Verse 39. "But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." Now that word perdition, you know, it's familiar to you. It's a perishing, a ruined destruction, the destruction which consists of eternal misery and hell. And what truly is the misery of hell? Separation from the fellowship of God. So, again, it goes back to that, to slip back, to fall away, to go back to a life that is based on works, based on sacrifice, when God has paid it all. God takes no pleasure in that. It's rejecting what God has given to us. Grace, bestowing upon us what we do not deserve. His mercy, not giving us what we do deserve. And God has said to come into fellowship with Him. But if we reject this, if the Hebrews, Jewish Christians reject it, if we reject, if we turn away from it, if we try a different way, if we work, do our own works, then again, there's nothing else to save us. Only Christ. And but to those believing in the saving of the soul, it's Christ has paid it all. Isn't that wonderful news? He's done it all. We just accept it. We believe it. But we keep ourselves in it too. And part of that is just as it says in Jude, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. He has done it all. Paid it all. I'm not going to get to heaven and God goes, no, I know you received my son and you believed in him, but you know, I just don't think you're right for heaven. No. Because what he has done, we shall be like him. We shall be perfect. We belong. And to turn away from anything else, from our own works that we cannot satisfy, our own works, we cannot make ourselves righteous, then why? Why take even the time to do it? And it's true with apostasy, of falling away from the Lord, of not having that confidence in Him, not keeping ourselves in the love of God, not keeping ourselves in His grace. We're the ones that, again, lose because we lose that fellowship with God. Fellowship with God keeps us from apostasy. So the question we always have to ask ourselves, how close are we to the Lord? How close do we want to be? Now, thankful, again, that the Lord does not let go of us. So why leave the hand? Why even second guess it? And that's what the writer is saying to the Hebrews here. What are you doing? Where are you going? What do you have? Nothing. What are you gaining if you stay? Everything. Everything. And again, to go back to recall former days, where were you? You were lost. What were you doing in sin? Who were you fellowshipping with? Those who were in sin also. Did that bring you joy? Did it bring you peace? Did it bring you a contentment? No, none of those things. No satisfaction. Oh, but in Christ is fullness of joy. In Christ, again, love abounds. In Christ, salvation is given. In Christ, we were made righteous in His image. We have the right to come boldly to His throne. We have the right, because of Christ, to receive His grace and His mercy. We have the right to receive His love. And again, it goes back to just accepting, believing, holding on to, rejecting anything that would keep us from Him, but also cause us to fall away. By His grace, we are saved. We thank God for that. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this morning. We thank You for this time of just looking into Your Word. We just pray, Lord, again, help us to understand these truths. Help us to hang on to them. Lord, just thank You for all the work that You've done for us. Just pray, Lord, help us to, again, be discerning of those things that would take us away from Your fellowship. Let's just be discerning in that, Lord. And anything that takes us away from Your fellowship to reject, to do those things that keep us in Your love. Thanking You, Lord, that You are able to save, that Your arm is not too short, and that You keep us from stumbling, Lord, daily. Now unto Him who keeps us from falling, we rejoice in that truth, Lord. So help us to be men and women that have confidence in You and walk in these truths. And by the power of Your Spirit, help us to implement these things in our lives now. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.